Members of the Yadu Dynasty.
Members of the Yadu Dynasty.
Paviria.
Great heroes.
Hyakutobaya. Fearless in every respect. Muhu. Constantly. Adikramanti. Traversing. Shabdam. Assembly house. Sudharmam. Did I skip something? Is that why you're all silent?
Yes.
Sorry, I got it from your silence. Thank you. Ahritam. Right there? Oh, I didn't do that one either? Oh, so many faults. Angrihibi. By foot. Adhitam.
Brought about.
Balat.
By
force. Shabdam. Assembly house. Sudharmam. Sudharma. Surasattama. The best among the demigods. Uchitam. Deserving. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great heroes of the Yadu Dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect. And therefore, their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best of demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. Let's say it together. The great heroes of the Yadu Dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect, and therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best of the demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. Omagina jinandasya jinandina salakaya chaktu umiditam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I am very indebted to him and beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. So here's the purport. But just putting this verse in perspective, this is Maharaj Yudhisthira speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna has just come on the scene relatively a few verses back. He had just come back from 7 months' stay in Dwarka. Previously, before Arjuna's return, Maharaj Yudhisthira was suspecting something's amiss because he saw many inauspicious omens. Can you remember, since you're all regular attendants in Srimad Bhagavatam class, some of the inauspicious omens that he saw before Arjuna returned? Bolts from the blue.
One of the sides, right or left?
Left side for the man.
Left side was quivering. What were the jackals doing?
Howling.
Howling, vomiting fire.
And the animal going
counterclockwise, and crows shrieking, so many things. Trees falling down, was that one of them? Falling down without any wind. So many inauspicious omens. He thought something's amiss. Then, a few verses back, let me see, probably 3 or 4 verses back, when Arjuna came back, he could see on his face, just trying to find.
23?
Thank you. 22. You're right. Oh, Brahmana Shonaka. While Maharaj Yudhisthira, observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at that time, was thus thinking to himself, Arjuna came back from the city of the Yadus, Dwarka, and then he could see Arjuna's face. Then he knew something is totally wrong. So since Arjuna's come back, he's given various speculations, you know, of why... Well, actually, first he starts asking about the welfare of the different members of the Yadu dynasty, starting with King Ugrasena, etc., etc., and is Lord Krishna doing well, and how he gives pleasure to the cows, and he also glorifies Lord Balaram, is he okay? And then previous verse, 37, was glorifying Satyabhama, who massaged the lotus feet of the Lord. And here today, now he starts to talk about the members of the Yadu dynasty and how glorious their position is. Okay, that's all the perspective. Purport, Vice of the Prophet. Those who are directly servitors of the Lord are protected by the Lord from all fearfulness. And they also enjoy the best of things, even if they are forcibly accumulated. The Lord is equal in all in behavior to all living beings, but he is partial to his pure devotees, being very affectionate towards them. So just these two sentences have a great import to them. And it's not often, although once Srila Prabhupada explains it to us, then it seems like it's easy to understand. But for a person who's not familiar with the science of love of Godhead, or the science of God himself, or the personality of Godhead, they're seeing different calamities in the material world. Some people seem to be favored, and even they might be favored because they have accumulated wealth, even though it's well known fact that they've accumulated wealth through illicit means, through perhaps dealing with drugs or cheating people in this way or that way. But because they've accumulated wealth, they appear to be exalted. They are exalted in a materialistic society. So that seems unfair to a person. Then there are people that might be sleeping in their condo very comfortably, and the condo collapse, and all of those innocent people die. That might seem unfair. And then there might be a flood. Hear from the Vedic literature and explain things with clarity so that we can understand that things are happening due to my previous activities. And so Krishna's, for those who are neutral or even antagonistic to the Lord, the Lord's giving them their due rewards just through the agency of material nature, you know, actions and reactions, what they deserve. And but for one who's attempting to approach the Lord in love, in devotion, in service, inquiring as to the nature of the Absolute Truth, into the nature of the Lord, then the Lord takes special care of those people and especially reciprocates with them according to their love, and especially guides them to the association of like-minded persons who will help one make advancement in spiritual life. So once that's explained to a faithful person, then it's kind of easy to, then it makes sense. All the, what we might superficially or casually look at the world situation and see how there's appears to be injustice and suffering and this and that. It all makes more sense. So, and that's one of our takeaways from studying the scriptures. So I'm just going to read that sentence again. The Lord is equal in behavior to all living beings, but he is partial to his pure devotees, being very affectionate toward them. The city of Dwarka was flourishing being enriched with the best of things in the material world. The state assembly house is constructed according to the dignity of the particular state. In the heavenly planets, the state assembly house is called Sudharma, was deserving of the dignity of the best of the demigods. Such an assembly house is never meant for any state on the globe, the earthly globe, because the human being on earth is unable to construct it. However far a particular state may be materially advanced, however much technological advancement may be there, and however much wealth may be there, still, they don't have the ability to construct something like this Sudharma assembly house. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, the Sudharma assembly house is mentioned a few times, and Prabhupada mentions there what were the special characteristics of someone who entered the Sudharma assembly house. That Sudharma assembly house in and of itself had mystic power. And do you remember, aside from Pran Govinda, Prabhu, who remembers everything that he's read since he started reading when he was three days old? Scripture, probably. Some of the characteristics of what happens if you enter the Sudharma assembly house. Yeah, because you get freedom from old age and death, but that was indirect. But it's okay. It's true. Something else, it's the six whips of material existence. Yes?
You're not affected by hunger and thirst?
Yeah. The six whips of material nature, hunger, thirst, that are always pushing us to into distress. And there's one more. Oh, lamentation. Lamentation. So free from the six whips of material life, which is hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion. That's me all the time, illusion. Illusion, old age, and death. So once you enter that Sudharma assembly house, those things don't afflict you. Amazing, isn't it? Just the potency of the assembly house itself. So therefore, it was a very special, to say the least, to put it simply, very special building that in Srila Prabhupada's books, all he accounts is that the Sudharma assembly house was forcibly taken away from the kingdom of Indra. In the Puranas, it's explained that Krishna asked for it and sent Vayu to get it, and the rest is all kind of fuzzy to me, but all Srila Prabhupada says is that it was forcibly taken away, along with something else. Do you remember another thing that was taken away that Indra wasn't very pleased with, Shamadarshini? Yeah, the Parijata flower. He wasn't very pleased. And if you think of the circumstance, this is for Shamadarshini. Remember the circumstances, how he got that Parijata flower, the previous, why was he there?
Krishna.
He had fought off the demons and he had... of the mother, Indra's mother, Aditi. Very good, dear. Yes, so in a previous battle he had, was it Banasura who had stole those things? Bomasura?
Yes.
Bomasura, right, correct? So Bomasura had stolen different things, and even he had stolen part of Meru Mountain or something, and to enjoy it for himself. But when he stole the earrings of Aditi, and in the umbrella of Varuna too, I believe it was, he kind of like crossed the line. So then Krishna decided to do away with him for various reasons, including those. And then after he defeated Bomasura, he returned the stolen earrings to Indra, to Aditi, you know, and they were very grateful, obviously, because they were obviously very precious jewels and very special. And as he's leaving, do you remember who was with him? Satyabhama, correct. Satyabhama was with him, and she said she was a little, because Narada had once given a Parijata flower to Rukmini, she was a little miffed that she also didn't get one. Sometimes those feelings arise in the heart. And so Krishna said, well, why should I just give you one flower? I can give you the whole tree. So he took the Parijata tree with him on the back of Garuda. But Indra was not so, he didn't remember his gratitude to the Lord at that particular point, and he started to try to not allow the Lord to take the Parijata tree, but he didn't stand a chance. You know, you don't stand a chance. When the Lord wants to take something from you with his 10 hands, what can your 2 hands do to protect yourself? And conversely, if the Lord wants to give you something with his 10 hands, how can you hold it all with your 2 hands? So similarly, although Indra tried to protect the Parijata from coming to Earth, the earthly planet, because it was considered a lower place, he couldn't do it because it was Krishna's desire. So what's mentioned here in this purport so far, is that Dwarka enjoyed many amenities from far distant places. The best of everything was there in Dwarka. And so someone might think, well, you know, they, and whatever they think. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said in the very first sentence, or the second one, they enjoyed these things. The residents of the Yadu dynasty enjoyed these things because they were the servants of the Supreme Person. Srila Prabhupada often makes that point sometimes when, in circumstances, sometimes when he would walk in wealthy neighborhoods, his morning walk in wealthy neighborhoods, perhaps in Beverly Hills or wherever he was walking sometimes, he would see these very big, elaborate houses, and he would make a comment that oftentimes the house is empty because the person who owns the house is busy working somewhere, and the person who's enjoying the house is the dog and the servants because they're there. So, not exactly similarly, but in a similar, I mean, because the Lord is the Supreme Personality, full of all opulences, and his circumstance, the devotees also wanted to give him the most pleasurable things. And this was exhibited oftentimes by Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada would arrive at different airports and be escorted off with Rolls Royces, rented Rolls Royces, to be more specific. And sometimes would be questioned by some reporters, if you're so renounced, why are you using these fancy cars and everything? And Prabhupada, without skipping a beat, he would say, because I'm the representative of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord should have a golden car. So I'm thinking that this Rolls Royce isn't quite adequate. Because he would take everything and utilize it in the service of the Lord, not thinking anything was for his own personal service. So similarly, the Yadus, even enjoying these opulences that were originally offered to the Supreme Lord, they would benefit from that and utilize them in Krishna's service and in his glorification. Okay, here, continuing on in the purport. But during the time of Lord Krishna's presence on earth, the members of the Yadu dynasty forcibly brought the celestial assembly house to earth and placed it in Dwarka. They were able to use such force because they were certain of the indulgence and protection of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In other words, the Lord is provided with the best things in the universe by his pure devotees. Lord Krishna was provided with all kinds of comforts and facilities available within the universe by the members of the Yadu dynasty, and in return, such servitors of the Lord were protected and fearless. So this circumstance of how the members of the Yadu dynasty were fearless and therefore bold in their actions to serve the Lord is reminiscent of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan who had complete faith in the shelter of Krishna, so much so that they weren't afraid at all. They didn't even think twice of entering into this huge smelly cave that just appeared in Vrindavan all of a sudden. That as they're entering it, they're discussing, you know, this probably isn't a cave. It's probably a demon. It's probably the mouth of a demon. And as they're going in with the cows and everything, they're not afraid and they're not concerned because they know Krishna will protect them. And sure enough, he did. He did. But that, we had mentioned previously in a previous class, this is a symptom of the surrender. That symptom of surrender and full faith in the Lord is that one is confident of the protection of the Lord. So, on the other hand, now the next paragraph starts to compare. The first paragraph is talking about the liberated transcendental personalities of the Yadu dynasty. And this second paragraph starts now comparing what a conditioned soul and their condition is. So Prabhupada says, a forgetful conditioned soul is fearful. But a liberated soul is never fearful. Just as a small child completely dependent on the mercy of his father is never fearful of anyone. So just that sentence, a forgetful conditioned soul is fearful. So why do they go together? The fearfulness and the conditioned soul, they go together because of that, because of their forgetfulness that I'm eternal. I'm a spirit soul. I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Then they're always fearful of their condition, that something's going to harm me, something's going to hurt me, something's ultimately going to kill me. And even we might say, even we might examine our lives and thinking that I'm not that fearful, I'm not, you know, whatever, I'm not that fearful. But sometimes, if you've noticed, sometimes you've probably all had the experience at different times and different circumstances being startled. You know, you're doing something, maybe you're in your house, maybe you're cooking in the kitchen or cutting up vegetables or something.